It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 408. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. Leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, Facebook, send me a friend request, or just follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And also, let's not forget about the wiki. That's at MTSWiki, that's WIKI.com, where you can get links to all of the past shows. Got great show lined up. A few things I want to talk about. Some things I learned from Saturday's presentation Winston Wolf gave at the Philadelphia Area Computer Society on virtualization. We had a great time. Unfortunately, the audio may not have worked out well. I'm still waiting for more feedback from Winston. He's working with it. So let's hope we can get that file finished to where the audio is good enough to where we can post it up. And then you can check out that presentation. It was great. He did an hour, and then I went on for over an hour and a half after that. We just had a great time, lots of fun. And, you know, you always learn something, and I learned something. I learned something about Linux that I'm going to share with all of you. Before we get started, want to welcome back GoToMeeting. We develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can't see. That can be a tough hurdle in business. So with employees and clients around the world, that's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces, a simple online meeting service with group HD video. It helps you get better connected to the people you depend on for success with GoToMeeting by Citrix. It just takes a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate with your team or clients in real time from anywhere in the world. I use GoToMeeting all the time. When I got to give a presentation, you know how cool it is to be able to have a webcam and they can see you as you're presenting? It makes a big difference when it's just that voice in the meeting where now they can see you and make that personal connection. And that's why it's great. You can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting, and my listeners can try it free for 30 days, but you have to visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code podcast. So click on Try It Free, enter the promo code podcast. So this past Saturday, I was demoing VirtualBox on my Windows system. This was after the main presentation where Winston Wolf gave a great overview of virtualization and why you should be using it in your everyday life. Well, VirtualBox, you should be playing with this no matter what operating system you have. It works under XP, Windows 7, Mac, or Linux. So whichever operating system you have, you can virtualize other operating systems. So here's a great example. Download VirtualBox, install it. It just takes a couple clicks and you just go next, 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 get it installed. Now go download Windows 8. It's free. Download it. Use that image file to install Windows 8. You can start playing with it right now. Whether you're going to move to it or not, it's a way to learn, enhance your skill set, play, create, even if you're just creating a sandbox, maybe with an additional Windows 7 install that you can test things, test upgrades before you apply it to your main system. There's a million reasons why you want to play with virtualization, and VirtualBox is completely free. I played with Linux. It's been so long since I've really sat down with like Ubuntu that even when I went to the website and downloaded Ubuntu, I don't know how, but I ended up going somewheres where I ended up downloading an older version and I didn't even realize it. And it was still light years ahead of what I had been playing with. So I think it was version 10 I downloaded. I didn't even know they're up to 12. So I downloaded that and had it on my system and I was playing with it. And it's an email that I get later, I guess later that night after I got home, where someone in the meeting said, "Hey, Mike, you know, there's a newer version of Ubuntu, and they made some great changes." Boy, did they ever. Version 12, I swear, it reminded me like I was on a Mac. There are so many Mac-like features, and the way the OS responds and the look and feel, I felt like I was on a Mac, and is really, really good. And that is something that you really should check out. And a great way to do it, and that's why I mentioned in VirtualBox, what you can play with Unix, you can play with Windows 8, and you don't have to spend any money. And you can check it out. And one of the things, I've been always used to OpenOffice, and that's the free Office at openoffice.org. And I was shocked that Ubuntu no longer included that. They included LibreOffice. And I've never heard of it. I've never played with it. And boy, I must be really out of touch. LibreOffice, not only is it a tremendous office package that you don't have to spend the hundreds and hundreds of dollars for Microsoft Word and Excel, not only does it work and it can read and write those formats from Microsoft for the file formats, but they have an incredible portable version. I was on portableapps.com setting up a new consulting small hard drive that I put together, and I got a terabyte drive, and I wanted to set it up with my WSUS offline, which we've talked about. All the utilities that I use and that we talk about on the show and I recommend. So I'm loading that up and I'm at portableapps.com and I see LibreOffice. I said, "Oh man, let's get the portable version of that." So now I can have like an instant portable Word with me wherever I'm at because I have my hard drive. A quick plug here for, we'll call this my inexpensive find of the week for Amazon. For $7.99, I got this incredible hard case to hold my terabyte drive, and it is padded inside. It's gorgeous with a nice zipper. This thing, I could throw this probably from a couple stories and drop it, and nothing's going to happen to the drive. This case is awesome, and it's what I've been looking for, and it's only $7.99, and I'm going to have a link in the show notes where you can check this out. I love it, and I was looking for a reliable, inexpensive case that can hold my drive and one that I can recommend for clients who swap drives for their backups and they need something for that one drive that's in transit that's going to the off-site place. Maybe it's the owner's house or somebody. You need that case. And why I mention this, because when you buy it, you help support the show. And the links for those couple utilities, the SATA IDE to USB cable that I recommended, you guys bought 25 of them. That is so cool. So I really appreciate that. And that's using my Amazon link. So please continue to use my Amazon link. And that's at amazon.micnation.net. And then go wild, purchase anything that you need, share that with friends, family, relatives, and of course the link's always on my website. But one thing I learned, and my son bought a Blu-ray movie, and he had that already in his cart. He added something that he was using that he bought from me, that he used my link. I didn't get credit for the Blu-ray movie because he added that to his cart without clicking my link. So if you add things to your cart, but then come back to the cart using my link, anything that's there, I don't get credit for. So you have to create it from scratch from my link and add it to the cart. Learn something. Didn't realize that. That's just in case you're putting multiple things together. You know, use my link. And then for that whole session, that counts. So LibreOffice, now I have that on my portable apps on this drive. Fabs auto backup for tech is on there. And I get one email from Kate. And it says the following about Fabs auto backup. It says, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was it. I got that from Kate. So that is great. I love it. It makes me feel good when I see things like that. Because Kate, she's not in the chat right now. She was earlier. You know, she's a big contributor to the show. She is a consultant in Canada. When you have great utilities and those really cool finds, and it makes your life as a consultant easier and just makes you look like a hero, that's what this is about. That they're those utilities that, you know, are kick butt utilities that does everything you want. But I do have a caution, and I used Fabs this week and it didn't. And there is a warning about this. If an IT person or tech support person prior to you working on the system who was clueless and put PST files in for some godforsaken places that I would have never thought of, that they shouldn't have been there, you can't expect Fabs to find them because it's not doing a search for all the PSTs. And that is why you absolutely want to search the drive and make sure you know where all the PSTs are, because you don't know who came before you and set it up and did a horrible job. So this is what I inherited. I'm redoing someone's system, and this is a client that I've, they're a retainer client, and they got a new system, but I hadn't dug deep into the setup of their PSTs, and it was like, what a mess. So do a reality check if you're moving someone from Outlook. Doesn't matter what version it is. Make sure you go into Control Panel, Mail, and you look and you see data files and you find out where all the data files are that they're using, because you want to make sure you're grabbing them. So there was a couple extra copies that I had to do on top of Fabs. Fabs is great. It's wonderful. I have a link in the show notes, but you still got to use some common sense and do a reality check on a couple things. And you can't have software replace good consulting work and you doing a good job. So you still got to be thorough and make sure that it is grabbing everything. The link from last week's show, ABR, the activation, backup, and recovery, I discovered a hole. Well, it's not a hole, but if it's not an OEM Windows license, it doesn't grab it. It can only grab the key. It can't grab the activation file. My systems here are not OEM Windows 7. They're all from TechNet Plus, or the Windows Ultimate was the one that I got from Microsoft, directly from Microsoft, for holding the Windows 7 house party, and I got a free Ultimate, and it didn't find the activation key. So it just got the product key, but not that activation file. So beware. And they also had some server trouble over the weekend. I got a couple emails, and also Botswana in the chat mentioned it to me on Saturday. Their server was down. Then it came back up, so they must have had, wherever they're hosting their website, seemed to have some troubles last week. Thank you for everybody who's letting me know when the site's up and down, and I appreciate it. Here's some credit for learning about that Ubuntu version, and it was from Clark Walker, who is usually in the chat. Tonight he's not here, Clark PC, and he says, great talks by Winston and yourself, but why did you use an old version of Ubuntu? You installed the distribution from April 2010. Also, I do not know if you noticed, but when you shut down the Ubuntu 2 install, there was about 610 block errors. You know, when you're giving a presentation and it's live, people see the little errors or the little things that's coming back. And yes, I noticed that. But I'll tell you what, Clark, I actually, after receiving this email, I blew away the installs of Ubuntu that I had on my VirtualBox, and I downloaded that version 12 that I spoke of a couple minutes ago and love it and installed it. So now I'm at the latest greatest. Thank you. Also, he sent me an email when they updated, there was a new version of VirtualBox. So make sure you stay on top of any of the virtualization software that you're using, whether it be just regular VMware Workstation, VMware Fusion, VirtualBox. When they release updates, apply the update. And then if there's tools or things you need to upgrade on your guest operating systems, make sure you apply those updates. Some feedback here on questions and topics from the last couple weeks. You know, we've been talking about this Intel Matrix storage monitor and whether you should have it or not. I want you to hear this from Landon. He says, "Dear Mike, I kept on hearing about your thoughts about Intel Graphics Media Accelerator driver that you did not think it was needed. I wanted to keep stuff off my startup list, so I deleted it, thinking it was nothing of importance. Big mistake. I started noticing error messages. Then I wanted to play Solitaire from Windows, and it had a message that the accelerator was missing. I played the game, and it was much slower than Solitaire running on my Windows 95 machine 17 years ago. I went to Intel to get the driver, but the software they had to detect what chipset and OS I had failed. So I had to learn how to get the chipset info, then try to sort out the 250-plus drivers of Intel Graphics Media Accelerator. I finally got the search bar to sort out what I needed, and I got it installed. It works fine. So my recommendation, avoid the headache and keep the Intel Graphics Media Accelerator driver." Now, this accelerator driver, I don't know if it's the same as the Intel Matrix storage monitor that I'm talking about. I'm not sure. Are we confusing things here? Am I confused? You know, there's so much. I guess heed to the caution here, where he removed his accelerator and it caused problems. So I just wanted to share that with you. And before you start uninstalling things, let's do some more research. And I hope that I didn't guide people into removing it. Now, remember, if you have a RAID system, you absolutely need it. Here's my question. If it comes pre-installed on your system and it's a system that you purchased, my recommendation is leave it alone. Is it something you need to add if you're doing a fresh install of an operating system and everything's running fine? Don't add it. So that might be just another rule of thumb here. If it says Media Accelerator, leave it alone. This is from Brandon, and I gave him some podcast advice on the last show. And he says, "Thanks for the advice to use Blueberry to post podcast episodes. It makes it so easy. Last night, I published the first episode, but I noticed that it took a while for the picture to show up in iTunes." Yes, that's true. "I stopped working on it about 10 Wednesday night. When I get up in the morning, the picture was there. I was thinking when you click the refresh button in iTunes, it would not only check for new episodes, but also update anything else that was changed, like the descriptions or pictures. No, it doesn't. It actually... I noticed that on a picture change, it takes a long time for it to trickle through and then update. Thanks again for the advice and the show." Great. Thank you for following up and letting us know how you made out. And I'm glad my advice worked. Now, this is an update to the listener who had that T-Mobile website problem. "Dear Mike, I wanted to give you an update to my last email about having trouble connecting to the T-Mobile homepage. I have tried your solution from Podcast 406, resetting Internet Explorer, but to no avail. I also tried reinstalling Windows from scratch and it did not fix my problem with T-Mobile. However, I decided to call the T-Mobile rep and he said that they will have the problem fixed in a few days." Well, that's telling me that the problem's on their end on the server on the site. "So now the T-Mobile homepage site works. but only if I manually remove the T-Mobile cookies after I have logged out of the T-Mobile account page and before I connect to T-Mobile's homepage, and that works. That means they're having some issues where you have to go do that just to be able to see the site. It just doesn't sound right. Do you have any other suggestions that may help to completely fix this problem without having to delete the T-Mobile cookies to get this to work? Yes. Call T-Mobile and say, what's going on? Say you called them before. They said they were working out some issues with their website. Are they having a problem where you have to clear your cache and clear this before you can clear the cookies before you connect? It doesn't sound reasonable. I don't think there's anything you can do except create some type of batch file or some type of process that when you're done, hopefully those cookies are easy to identify and you know where they're at. And maybe you just click on a little batch file that you write that goes in and actually deletes those cookies. But you should not have to do that to be able to view this site. I would still continue with tech support with T-Mobile and see what's going on. This is from Steve. And he says, I have been a longtime fan of the show and never miss an episode. I had to write in about Micro Center. Now, you remember my rant with my client problem with Micro Center. I am either a lover or a hater of the store, but I do have to share a story with you. My neighbor, Eric, came over complaining that Micro Center had a display of Blu-ray burners on a rack for a crazy low price. When at the checkout, they said it was the wrong price. He got the manager, who would not honor the price as he said it is and was below their cost. My neighbor told him that that he's in retail also, and if we mark something wrong, we honor it. Then we change the display. Sorry, there is nothing I can do. The price stands, said the manager. I said, Eric, calm down. The vice president said on Podnuts, if you ever have a problem, just contact him. And his name's Kevin, who is the VP of Business Development at Micro Center. I told him that he gave out his email address on the Podnuts show. That was episode 37. Eric went back in the Micro Center, called Kevin, who then told him to hand the phone over to the manager. Eric said all he heard was, uh-huh, yes, sir, uh-huh. Let's get you checked out, said the manager. Sorry for the misunderstanding. Looks like justice was served, I always say. Don't get mad. Get satisfaction. Thanks, and keep up the hard work. And this is Steve-O. Steve, thank you very, very much for that. For every negative, you're going to also find a positive. But remember, even my client, who had all the problems, was completely reimbursed 100% for all of the hardware. Now, the problem was from Micro Center with my client, we went in to purchase a laptop and they sold us a port replicator, a docking station for this Sony laptop, and swore. They said they guaranteed it would work with multiple displays. He lied. And it's not that he deliberately lied. He didn't know and he guessed, but his guess was the sound of expert advice that he absolutely knew, and he didn't. And that was my problem. And we're talking a total purchase with the software, the docking station, the laptop, all the stuff was over $1,800. Now, she got a full refund, but what about my time? What about the 4 hours that I spent? She was made right when it came from Micro Center's perspective, except for my bill, which we had to privately work out. Anyway, that was the problem from Micro Center. This is from Al, and he says, hey, was just wondering, has this affected you, as I know you and your clients that, you know, use Avira antivirus? And this is an article that I'm going to link in the show notes. Catastrophic Avira antivirus update bricks Windows PCs. Now, when you read this, it was not the free version of Avira. It was the paid version, which is amazing. Anybody who had the paid version of, I think, the premium Avira, they got whacked. this week with a major problem with an update, and they had to scramble and fix it. Now, I use Avira on my one system here, and I have that trick that I talked about a few weeks ago to block the pop-ups, and I get no pop-ups anymore for my Avira, because that was my big problem with the free version. It was fine when it was one pop-up a day, but when you get 10, well, now you're abusing your privilege of being able to push ads in front of me, and I didn't like that, and so that's why I started on the, I jumped on the bandwagon for Microsoft Security Essentials. Now, with Avira having this, is kind of interesting, the paid version having a problem with an update. And there's nothing you could do with antivirus. You got to update when they say, at least with Microsoft, I don't automatically apply all of the Windows updates all the time. I wait, let things settle down, see what's going on, then I apply the updates. Well, with antivirus, you gotta update. You gotta believe they're doing their testing, they're doing their due diligence, and they have put it through the paces, you hope, before they push it out. Well, clearly something was missed here. And that's just bad controls and bad quality control. Testing procedures are just not good enough. This is a change control issue. Someone was allowed to let an update go before it was ready, or maybe there was some other issue. That's just another reason to avoid Avira. Jerry recommends AVG in the chat. I got to admit, I haven't tried the latest few versions of AVG. I was disappointed. I think it was like version 6 or 7, where they just got so bloated and it was slowing down. The whole system just lagged until I got rid of AVG, and then everything sped up. I kind of swayed away from AVG. Maybe I got to give a look at that again. I think the consensus right now on the best antivirus is Avast. That's right. And Jerry just said, oh no, he says that's why he stopped using AVG. Excuse me, I read that wrong. So he moved to Avast. Avast, I have been hearing many, many good things, where it doesn't tax the CPU. It does a great job in blocking. Me, I have to say, I got to turn off the voice. I don't want my antivirus talking to me. And I remember the first time I was using Avast, it just scared the heck out of me. It was like 2 a.m. and this woman's voice comes out of my speaker saying, your antivirus has now been updated. I mean, when you're not ready for that, and this voice, and it's all quiet, and it's like 2 a.m., and everybody in your house is asleep, and you get this voice bellowing over your speakers, I must have jumped a foot out of my seat. And you know what? It was done. I wanted nothing to do with it after that. I like uninstalled Avast and put Avira on there. So that's how I got to Avira. Just be ready for that, and something that you might have to turn off for the antivirus speaking to you. Okay, this is a really good email here. So I have heard you talk a lot about setting up a private domain on Google Apps. And I know that there are several tutorials, including one by Buyer Brown, about how to change the MX records and set it up. But I haven't heard the explanation to my question. Once the switch is made, do the individual users need to do anything to be able to receive their mail? Absolutely. And I guess that goes, I just assume that went without saying, and we're going to talk about that. I have my own domain with several family members as users. They are in various locations other than my home. They all use either Outlook or Windows Mail. Do they, or more specifically, do I, need to change their email configuration on their individual computers so that they are receiving the mail from the Google Mail servers rather than from the server on my current ISP? Currently, Outlook is set to send and receive mail through mail.domain.com. Does this need to be changed for each user to mail.google.com? Well, actually, your POP settings are mail.google.com. Your SMTP is smtp.google.com. I will have a link on how to set that up. It's very simple. So you need to know the ports and you need to know those servers. And then also it's imap.google.com if you want to use the IMAP protocol. And then there's a port for that. So you absolutely must make that change or they're not going to get the mail. You are dead on and you're right. It's a step that we don't talk about that and we really should. I stand corrected. It is not mail.gmail.com. It is pop.gmail.com. That is the incoming server for POP3. Your outgoing is smtp.gmail.com. The username is the full email address for the user and then the password that you assigned. When you go to more settings, this is what you're going to need. Your incoming server POP3 is port 995. Check the box. This server requires an encrypted connection, SSL. Your outgoing server is port 587. And then you have the option, use the following type of encrypted connection. Use TLS. So there you go. This is how you set it up to receive your mail for Google Apps. They are my exact settings for my MHSconsulting.net, which is my consulting domain and where I get all of my email. The final email is from Winston Wolf, and he sent me a cheat sheet for OS X keyboard shortcuts, and I will have that. It's from Lifehacker, and I will have that for everybody. I have some independent music for tonight, and it's always a pleasure to play music from somebody. It's somebody that you know that they know, and there's a connection. I was in doing some consulting work with one of my clients, and I heard some music on an iPhone, and I said, wow, who is that? And she says, that's my daughter. And she's in a trio where they write their own music. They have a couple CDs, and I said, you're kidding. And her name is April Stace, and she plays the harp. This is very soothing, beautiful music, and I'm going to have a link to her website, and you could buy her music from CD Baby. Give a listen to this, and then I'll be back to wrap up. That was the song Another Day, and the group is Harp 46, and on the harp is April Stace. It's all original music, very soothing, just wonderful, and when I heard it, I was like, I like this. Sometimes you need some music to just relax and unwind to, and this is it. And I'm going to have a couple links to where you can purchase their CDs from a CD Baby, and I think Amazon. I may even have some Amazon links for you. So check that out. Great music, and hope you enjoyed it. And that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed and supporting the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and I will be back next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.